I want to discuss today the topic of Mesira. Mesira is the question as to whether or not a Jew has the right, obligation, or something else to give in another Jew to the authorities. Now, before we get started, let's start with the American law on the topic. In the event that I know somebody has violated the law, do I have a legal obligation to report the person? And in fact, in the United States, the rule generally is not. If you look at number one, we give a basic rundown. Most of the time, organizations are not legally required to report a crime or do anything to stop it. In other words, there is no general duty to be a good Samaritan, but the exceptions are surprisingly widespread. Right? In several states, in fact, in some of the cases, the majority of the states, there are certain people have an obligation to report crimes if they know about it. Doctors have many of these obligations in the event that they have reasons to suspect abuse. Teachers also have obligations like this, but these are exceptions. These are not the rules. If I know that somebody is cheating on their taxes or even cheating somebody else, according to the law of this the great state of Colorado and the United States of America, I have no obligation to give the person in. I can turn a blind eye on that. So therefore, this isn't the case where there's going to be a clash between the American law and Jewish law, because according to American law, if you want it, you can. If you don't want it, you don't have to. So there is no way that you can run into a problem with that. If you look at the Rambam in a series of halachas, the first three of them we give you here, the Rambam makes it very clear that he does not look positively on people who turn in their fellow Jews. First, it says, "Asur limsa yisol biyadgoyim bein begufom bein b'momono." You're not allowed to give over a Jew over to a non-Jew, whether we're talking about physically giving the person over or giving over their assets. "V'afilo yerusha b'aleveiros, filo yemitzar lo tzaro." Even if the guy's a nasty fella, and even if he's done me wrong and he bothers me, I'm not allowed to do it. "V'chol mosa yisrael b'yadgoyim bein begufom b'momono ein lo chelok olam haba." That's a pretty serious art.
Not living in the country we live in.
That is correct. The Rambam was not living in the great states of United. But we'll get
there,
to that.
If you even a slight suspicion would lead to your fellow Jews, you know, execution.
Right, but also remember, he even said financial issues. So again, he can't just be talking about execution, because he makes it clear, bein begufo, bein b'momono.
I mean, it didn't take much in those days to find the Jew guilty of anything.
That's true.
Here, there's still a requirement of proof.
Correct. Again, we will discuss this at length. We'll leave it at that for now. So the Rambam's first point is, anybody is a Moser, ein lo chelko umhaba. One. Two, the
Rambam.
We don't look at
that Moser.
It sounds that way. Similarly, the Rambam, that was Chovol Mazlik, in Hilchos Shuvah, says, "Shnayim heim amosim, mosu chaver biyad akum laharga ola hakoso." What does he give him over? That Jew to be killed or to be beaten? "Vamosim mamun chaver biyad akum o biyad anashu ke akum v'shem ein lehem chelk olam haba." Again, in any of these cases, you lose your chelk olam haba. Not only that, but another Rambam, again in Chovol Mazlik, number four, "If I give in my fellow Jew, I have to make the person whole. I have to pay up for that."
You pay up to Hashem?
No, I pay up. So I go and I say, I think that Alex, in fact, has not been paying the right amount of taxes. So I go and I give him in. Alex can now sue me in Beis Din that I have to pay the money that he had to pay to Uncle Sam.
He can.
That's what it very much sounds like. That I have to make him whole. I should have never given him in. I damaged him by giving him in. And now, because I damaged him, I have to make good on it.
Even
my good friend Alex made off here? Yes.
He made
off with all our money.
Right,
that's what the Rambam says. In the event that I gave over a person, that I wasn't supposed to do that, I am responsible to make him whole now.
This is the opinion of the Rambam. Not only that, the emes govim miyorshav kishar kol mazikim. But not only that, but if somebody gives Alex in and then that person dies, you can collect from the heirs. You can collect from the estate. And not only that, if let's say Alex owed money, and he went and he hid some money in a, right now we have a nice Jewish boy, a Sephardi, I think, El Chapo. El Chapo, the government's trying to collect $12.7 billion.
Good luck, pocket change
for him. Right, and his lawyer says, good luck on finding it. Right, which is a fair point. In the event that I would turn around, let's say if El Chapo was a Yid, and said, you know, by the way, this is where the money's hidden. So the Rambam says, then you could, then El Chapo could go after me in a court of law.
I don't think it would be in a court of law.
You're just saying practically. I don't think he's Jewish either, I'll be honest. Because if he did, you would know the family. That's why I don't think he's Jewish. The Sefer HaChinuch discusses this at length, and we see that not everybody agrees 100% with the Rambam. Right? The first thing he talks about is the question of, do you require hasra for a moser? Meaning as follows, in general, in order to convict me of something, I have to be warned. You have to turn around and say to me, you know, in the event that you do this act, there'll be a punishment. So do you require that or not? The Rambam seems to say no. Right? The Rambam seems to say if a person violates the law, the person has to pay without question. Right? He says other people disagree with that. Right? He makes the point that it seems that the Ravid disagrees with that, and that in fact, that in the event that somebody is a moser, in order to collect, there has to be a warning. He then goes a step further and he says, we said earlier that you're not allowed to give somebody in because they're bothering you. Yes, you have a question there, Mr. Brooks?
No.
Is something in your eyes?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, yeah, the Rambam says if somebody is annoying you, you don't have a right to give them in. But if somebody is annoying everybody, you do have a right to give them in. If someone is generally making trouble for the Jewish community, then you have a right to give the person in. Now, what does that mean? So let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. Let's get to the Halacha. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, sounds a lot like the Rambam. Kol Moser HaTzibur Metzaron. So he says the same thing. If there's a person who is generally making trouble for the Jewish community, you're allowed to give that person in. Now, what would be an example of that? Right? So a classic example of that used to be a gadiv, right? In the event that there was somebody out there who was acting in an unlawful way. Right, the person was stealing, and everyone knew that the ganav was Jewish, and it was going to lead to anti-Semitism. You had a right to arrest the ganav and get him over to the authorities, because his acts were negatively affecting the entire community. However, if his acts was only negatively affecting one member of the community, that would be different. The Rambam goes further. He says, "Hagam, misha oka b'ziyuf m'kadova." For example, if someone was a counterfeiter. And in the event that they found out that this Jewish guy was a counterfeiter, they would take it out on the entire Jewish community. We call him in and we say, listen, you got to stop it. The Jewish community calls him in. And if he doesn't pay attention, we can go to the authorities and say, here, we've caught your man. This is the only person who was doing it. We're giving the person over. What about the following case? This is unfortunately not uncommon. You have a Jew that owes money to a non-Jew, and now the Jew intends on running off without paying their debts. Let's say I give the guy in. Am I a moser? So the Rambam says, no. I'm just making the guy do what he's supposed to do. The guy borrowed money. He bought something. He's supposed to pay for what he did. And now by me just making him pay, that's not an avera. That, in fact, is doing, I'm making sure the guy does what he's supposed to do.
What's a moser?
A moser is somebody who hands over a Jew to the authorities. And we mentioned that that's a very bad person. Also, he said, though that being said, he said, if the guy would have gotten away with it, so the question is as follows. We will discuss at a later date the idea of stealing from a non-Jew. And undoubtedly, the halacha says that you're not allowed to steal from a non-Jew. Period. That's without question. However, there are other categories of not stealing. The question is, if a non-Jew makes a mistake, do you have to correct the mistake? If a non-Jew lost something, do you have to return the item?
Is this that famous story about the pearl around the donkey's neck?
So there is a story about a pearl around the donkey's neck, where someone buys the donkey and returns the pearl.
Or didn't return the pearl because it was a non-Jew.
So we will discuss the case then. But here, this is not a case, in the case of if the guy would have been able to get away with it, that arguably is not a case of gezel, of stealing, but a case of avedus, that money is lost. We're going to hold off on that discussion for now. Now, there is another topic which we're going to have to discuss at some point, and that's what's called grama. Sometimes, in the event that I directly cause damage to you, I'm responsible for that. What if I indirectly cause damage to you? Right? There's a lot of cases where this could happen. Right? What if you're negotiating a deal with somebody, and I swoop in and I undercut you?
Not nice.
Not nice, no. Right? The question is, though, I cause damage. Or what if I have a guy who's willing to buy my car for $10,000 and someone goes and whispers in the ear, there's another guy selling it for $8,000. And now that guy walks away, I lose a client because of it. Can I sue the person who whispered in the other person's ear?
Well, he's doing it for the benefit of that person, but he's also...
But that's how it always works. In whatever is the benefit of what's good for the buyer is bad for the seller, and vice versa. Right? That's just the way it works.
Theoretically, you can sue.
It's a zero sum. No, I didn't say you can sue.
You're losing money. That's why.
Right. So that's.
Yes, could you sue?
What? You could always sue. The question is, will you win?
Right.
Is the seller a boy or a Jew?
What? So let's say it's a Jew.
They're all Jews.
Let's say everybody's Jewish.
Everybody's
a Jew. That's the way. Right? So that's cool. Again, I didn't, it's not like I went and I slashed your tires. Right? But I cost you money, you know, all the same. Right? There's many ways, again, that I could cost you money. The question, that's called the grama. That's an indirect way of me causing you to lose money. In general, you don't have to pay for it. Okay, we'll see. I have to discuss the cases at length, but the general rule is that we paskin that by grama your putter. So let's say I go to a somebody who's looking to collect money that's owed, and the person says I don't have it, and I whisper in their ears, "Go check that account over there." Right? There's an account there that's in his wife's name. Right? There's an account there in his kid's name. Right? He has certain options. That are not public. And because of that, the person loses the money. Do I have to pay for that? Right? Now the person sues me in court. Look, you messed me over. Why did you tell him that?
Seemingly, in that case, the guy had a responsibility to pay the money. He was being dishonest. Someone else pointed out the fact he was being dishonest.
I don't know all these facts that you're raising here. I know the following fact. The fact is that someone's trying to collect money from me, and wrongfully so. right? The person is wrongfully trying to collect money, right? Let's say it's a Jew that's trying to collect interest from me, right? And under a contract, I'm supposed to pay the guy $100,000 worth of interest. Now, according to halacha, I don't pay interest, but the guy goes to court, and he gets a decision that I have to pay interest. Do I have to pay the money?
In America, yes.
But according to Jewish law.
But not in a court, not in Europe or some other of these other primitive countries by Jewish law. It wouldn't apply here.
Not the location, it's the court. It's
right, so again.
Couldn't pay the interest, right? It's in a
favor. Right, so therefore I go and I hide my assets.
You put it in your kids' name?
I put it in my kids' names, I make a donation to Eidos, and then afterwards they'll honor me and give me an equivalent amount back.
Get all the ice cream you want.
You know how that works. Yeah. Right? We go and we go to the laundry with it a little bit, to hear what I'm saying. That's so, right? And then someone rats me out. So what would you say in that case? Right? So I was in the right here. I was in the right to try to hide my assets because you should never been able to collect my assets.
Dina
Malchus Adina would override it? No. You know, according to the law of the United States of America, you ought to work on Shabbos and eat treif. So Dina Malchus Adina. Let's go to Park Burger on Shabbos and have a Kiddush.
I think it's a little bit different.
Why?
That's not
what?
Done.
Doing the Haftarah, of course. That's when they always do it.
I love your example.
So, right? Dina Malchus Adina, isn't everything okay?
No, but you're okay.
Right? Yes?
So there's no underlying breaking of any law that the primary person is doing. So, like, when you warn him, you should know because he's breaking the law. But in this particular case, it could be an avera that he doesn't have to pay. So there's no law that's been broken.
Correct. Meaning that, like we spoke about last time, there are certain things that I'm allowed to do that are perfectly legal. Right? I had a question today. I actually came up, I'm involved in a case where that financially a couple is having a terrible time and they would be doing much better if they were divorced. That, you know, one of them is ill and if that person was single, they'd be entitled to all sorts of benefits. So I raised the possibility that maybe they'd like to get legally divorced and remain religiously married. They can live together happily, etc. But a legal divorce would not affect them halachically at all. And with that, they can do this. Is there anything wrong with that, getting divorced for the sake of benefits? Well, again, even if they're
civil, we kind of frown on that, though.
Why? Why are we frowning?
We don't like people who could be married to be living together and not married.
But they are married.
Yeah. They're married.
I get that.
Right, and you know what? And in this country, they don't frown on people that are.
No. I get that.
Right. So yeah, according to they don't frown on what they're doing, and we don't frown on what they're doing here.
You're saying take from both.
The regular law wouldn't be crazy about the fact that they're Jewish, that they're halachically married.
So again, you're familiar with the law. Why do you say they're not crazy about it?
I'm assuming the reason why they're
because we had religious we had religious commitment. Let me ask you this question. I'm asking you a question. The question is: in the event that this happened, and then one of the parties died, and now the other party wants to collect Social Security benefits.
Well, if they're not legally American married, they can't do that.
Right, but really, would they frown upon that? No. Yeah, it's a trade-off. If you get civilly divorced, right, you're going to gain here, but you're going to lose in the survivor benefits.
Right.
Right? It'll go both ways, won't it?
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, anything wrong with this suggestion I raised with this person?
I guess not legally. Halachically.
Legally, you said according to American law, it's fine. According to Jewish law, it's fine.
Sounds like it.
Right?
It's okay.
Right? So what's the problem?
But I assume they wouldn't give him the benefits if they knew there was another.
Why wouldn't they? If they were living together?
It's a lot like filing singly or filing married.
No, because that's different. Because, again, if you're married filing singly, that's not the same as singly filing singly.
It's a little different.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Same kind of idea.
Yeah, I feel like it's a fraud of some sort.
Why?
No, just
why is it fraud?
Well, you're telling them that you're separated.
And they are. No, again. In the event that they, let's say they weren't religiously married. They were just living together. You know, and they had a commitment ceremony, but they never got legally married. Is that insurance fraud?
No. What do they care for all their blessings
then? Isn't there some kind of common law marriage where you don't have to be married, but if you're living together, you still consider married?
After a certain time.
What?
Yeah, but
again, that has nothing to do with religious marriage, right? Whether that's irrespective of whether you have a religious marriage or not, right? So again, I said if you want to remain married,
gaming the system here somehow.
No, again, that just because it works doesn't make it wrong. No, are there any attorneys in the house?
Just like that back.
No,
I wouldn't say anything so far.
I understand. That's why I'm calling you out. You might want to claim jet lag or something.
There's nothing wrong legally doing that.
What? And
morally, not.
It's not ethical.
Why is it again? And let me ask you this: and if they gave a get, that would be better.
Yeah.
No.
Because then you're indicating you're not married anymore.
Okay. Well, again, we got a civil divorce. We're not married anymore.
There's millions of people in this country living together
who aren't married.
Married and collecting benefits as citizens from Social Security.
Yeah. Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. Another person, a third party, that can report this couple to the insurance people. Would that be a problem?
I don't think it would be a problem because I think the insurance company would do nothing about it. Right.
So who for him to...
The only time it would happen,
that's what I'm
saying. One of them died, the other one tried...
Tried to collect spousal benefits. Right.
That would be fraud, but otherwise...
Yeah. So, right. So again, there are a lot of cases out there which, you know, it's perfectly legal. There's nothing wrong about it. You know, is that what Congress had in mind? I'll be honest, I don't care.
I don't think so.
Right? Well, you had in mind the hind the hair. What's written is written. The law is the same for everyone. So the Shulchan Aruch talks about the following. The Shulchan Aruch talks about. Does it make a difference if I point out the assets, or do I have to actually give over the assets? Because if I give over the assets, I've damaged you. That right? That is a type of hezek. If I just point that out, perhaps that's only grumma. That's an indirect form, and perhaps that's not as that it might not be nice, but perhaps it's not something that I can collect on. So the Shulchan Aruch says in number 7, if I give it over, even if there was a gun to my head when I gave it over, I still have to pay for that. He said, what about this day? What if the king says, I hereby demand that everybody who has wine give it over to me? Everyone says, wine? Who has wine? Wine? Go to Pete's. We don't have wine here. Right? Schnapps? There's no schnapps in the rabbi's office. Don't even bother looking there. Why would anyone put the schnapps in the rabbi's? Ridiculous. Right? Unheard of. What? Right? Rabbi doesn't drink. We know that. Why would there be schnapps in the rabbi's office? So, if someone says, oh yeah? Check right above the desk on the back. You'd be amazed what you find. That's a moser. You gave it over. The Shach says as follows. The Shach says, let's be clear here. Hainu be'inyan she'ein bo dinu l'machus gon she'gazal ish yadua. He said, this does not mean that I have a right to not pay the taxes of the government. He said, in the event that it's a just tax, and it's a legal tax, and I give you over, the Shach says, you don't make me pay. I did what was right. Meaning that you owed the money only if this is an unjust tax. This is a government that didn't have a right to tax, so they don't have a right to tax in this way. Maybe we'll discuss what's a fair tax, what isn't.
He uses malchus shel chesed.
But again, even if it's not a malchus shel chesed, the bottom line is you have a government. The government has to pick up the garbage. The government has to pave the roads. The government has to have an army. The government has to have a police force. The government has to have a fire department. Someone's got to pay for it. Right? It's not, they're not going to work for free. And therefore, in order to do that, you have to tax. Whether this is a democracy, a theocracy, whether this person's a despot in charge, the garbage still has to get picked up, and someone's got to pay for it. Right? Whether this is... Now, in the event that they tax and everyone pays a certain percentage, doesn't matter what type of government it is, you've got to pay that money. In the event they say, okay, only Jews pay taxes, that's a different story. Right? In the event that they say only the rich pay taxes, may or may not be a different story. We'll have to discuss that again at a later date. Or if, let's say, the poor people pay 10% and the rich people pay 35%, that also, the question is if that is a fair tax or not. But we're talking, if it's a fair tax, yeah, you and you make the person pay the tax, there's nothing wrong with it. The Be'er HaGolah is a fascinating fellow. The Be'er HaGolah is hardly known. Anyone familiar with the Be'er HaGolah at all?
Never heard of him.
So if you open up the Shulchan Aruch, up in the corner, there is a small commentary called the Be'er HaGolah. And the Be'er HaGolah, generally all what it does is points out that this law in the Shulchan Aruch, this is the source for it. Here's where you can find it in the Gemara, here's where you can find it in the Rambam. The Be'er HaGolah lived through the Chmelnytsky massacres, Tach V'Tat, in 1648-49. Right? You would imagine that the Be'er HaGolah escaped barely with his life. Right? He suffered through these massacres.
Where is the massacre?
What?
Where is the massacre?
I believe in the Ukraine. Right? That's where Chmelnytsky was. Right. So that was the preamble to actually Shabtai Tzvi.
Okay.
So you can imagine that he wasn't that fond of the non-Jews. Despite that, he is the one who writes strongest in being fair when dealing with non-Jews. We'll see more of it later in the summer. He said, this goes across the board. He says, in the event that I owed money to a non-Jew, and then the non-Jew dies, and I don't bother telling the heirs, that's a sin. Even if something's lost, if they will lead to a Kiddush Hashem, you absolutely must return it. He said, therefore, leaders of the communities have made it clear that in the event somebody owes money to a non-Jew, absolutely, positively, we have a right to give the person in. So therefore, the idea of giving over money to us, or giving over a person that to the non-Jews, is only problematic if the person doesn't actually owe the money. But if the person owes the money, forget it. Now the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan, this is perhaps the most important piece on the entire sheet. The Aruch HaShulchan has the following footnote. And it's a very interesting and questionable footnote. Now, let's read it closely. Yodel ho korei hadorah shebizman hakadmah b'medinas v'chokos lo yelish bitochem begufo. Everybody knows, back in the day, people lived in countries where you can never be sure that you'll live to the next day. There were bandits that used to wander the streets. There were pirates.
Even though
Shapachos the Memshala Osim. And even not only that, but these bandits, you know what they called themselves? They called themselves the government. Right? They called themselves the Sheriff of Nottingham. Right? They called themselves King Richard. They would run around. He said, that's these all the government were a bunch of thieves. He said, and there's still countries out in Africa where that's the way things are. This is early 20th century. He said, and I'd like to talk specifically in favor of the governments in Europe, and specifically the Kaiser of Russia. He was in Belarus. And the Kaisers that came before him, Umalche Britannia, and the monarchy in Britain, Sherparsu Kavim Memshalosim Ba'artos HaRachokos, that have taken over large swaths of lands from far and wide, Mayuako Ish V'Ish B'Tochen Al Gufo, and they make sure that their citizens are safe. Umamoto Ba'Ofisha Ashir Lo Yitzchuchu Ra'Hastir Atzmam Shelo Yishol Mimonam. Rich people don't have to hide anymore their money. Says nowadays everything is different. When we talk about Moser, what are we talking about? We're talking about unjust governments. But just governments, the rules of Moser don't apply anymore. It used to be if someone gave over and said, this guy has money, this guy, he'll be killed. That's not what happens nowadays, he says. Nowadays we live in great countries. We live in Russia. And therefore we have nothing to worry about. This is very important because it is a known fact that the Aruch HaShulchan was adjusted significantly by the censor. And the question is, did the Aruch HaShulchan write this? Or was it censored later on, and therefore it can be discounted? Many people are of the opinion that this was not censored, and they think that the Aruch HaShulchan snuck a hint into this to indicating that we should take it seriously. What hint could you find here? What about this does not look like the censor?
I don't know what it says.
The Kaiser Russia definitely looks like the censor. What? No, because the Kaiser would have put the Kaiser in. Boy, I'm going to get.
I don't know exactly what he's saying.
What he's saying is that these rules that you're not allowed to give over a Jew to the authorities,
right,
only applied in the days where there were unjust governments. But nowadays we live in Russia, where there is justice, etc.
In Russia.
Now, what the thing that does not fit in to a censored piece is the British monarchy. There is no way that the Russian censor would have said, boy, isn't the British monarchy great?
Well, I thought he's just using both these.
Correct. Again, if the question is, did he write it or did the censor write it? If it was the censor, he probably would not have put the British monarchy in there. Right? So therefore, many people believe that he is dead serious. And the rules of Moser do not apply nowadays. Because in the event that someone violates the laws are just, the person will be punished in a proper manner. And that's that. The Tzitz Eliezer deals with this in a very practical case. This affects the doctors. Talks about the follows. Yelad Hamukah, what happens if you have a patient, a young child, who has clearly been beaten? Unfortunately, it is not uncommon. They bring in a baby that has broken bones throughout the body, including the skull. Internal injuries. For example, you might even see cigarette burns on the child. Ad matzav shel mamish pikuach nefesh, and you worry about whether or not the child's going to survive. This was done by purposely by one or two of the parents. He shall have kvar be'achel choshe mispret shal sifri. Kesh mizronim b'mishtara az achar shesin av tofel mishtacher b'beit hachom ma'avir noso yidei tzav beis ha'mispret ha'mishpacha u'menes. If I go to the police, what are they going to do? They're going to give it over to Forster. To Forster. Or most likely, or they'll put him into an orphanage to save the child from his parents. Because unfortunately, cases where if you give the child back, the child comes back dead. What if they're going to take a religious child and give them over to non-religious foster parents? Or if you're dealing outside of Israel, they might give them over to a Catholic orphanage. So do you in fact rat out the parents or not? That is the question. Well, if I was going to argue the other way, what does the word nefesh mean? So isn't giving over to Catholic charities a bigger problem, or at least as big a problem for the soul? These are questions as a rabbi you're happy when you don't get them. I give you part of the answer here. What if there's sexual abuse by the father to the daughter? Ma'adin in that case. Another question, do you give in? Gimel. Yesh mikim yadum shal his minis shal mora began yaradim. What if there is a teacher who is abusing children?
Is that what Gaki Horowitz's whole thing is that he goes around?
Yanki Horowitz runs around and he's abusing children?
No.
Please, Shlomo, this is being recorded. We could be sued.
He goes around defending and making sure people are aware of the situation. That's his whole, so it doesn't get worse.
Rabbi Eisenman.
Rabbi Eisenman.
I would think that makes sense.
But I think it's well known, well accepted today by maybe 99% of the halachic poskim that if you report sexual abuse, you're not a moser.
So again,
is there anybody who still says you are a moser?
Ha, yeah.
Who? In Israel, being
said. Who is that?
I'm not naming names, but ha.
Is there one known poskim who would say you're not allowed to report sexual abuse
or physical abuse?
So that's the question. In the answer, so he let's skip to the answer. Hey, akomo nirli rahosim reshim havhar al shnei nekudos. So I want to make 2 points. One, bevad shel kavo mishel sa. So clearly we're talking here about giving over to non-Jewish courts. He said, "Also limsar yisobi arakum v'rach gabei mesiras mamam diad onas kasav." He says, "Shem bein onas akum bein onas Yisrael." Two. He said there is a difference between barbaric nations and enlightened nations. He said, this is what the Shulchan said. Who become Medinas Harachok Shloyer Ish Bitachon Beguf of Mono Bedesha Shodim Vanosu Megam Nasu Vosom Megam Mistra. He says that in fact, when we talk about Mesira, that's only talking about the different types of nations, not democratic nations, not enlightened nations that we have, not just nations. Kiyadua Gam Hayom Beizim Medinas Me Africa. Mashiach Malchay Europa Ayn Sham Mucha Me'ach Shosham Shalok Kiven Bidvar of Rak Mishamalchus. He says, I don't think that he wrote that. He said, just because the government forced him to. Even though there are many times where he did write things because of that. Ki mirfat v'hol leisham l'dug v'gam shems v'dishayim rechokim rechok rav ma'od v'yimakom agurov. He said the fact that he quoted nations far away, Europe, England in particular, indicates that this wasn't added by the censor, and therefore the Tzitz Eliezer thinks that the rules of Moser only apply in the types of governments where there would not be justice, and therefore he believes that you can give these people in, and you have to. No, this is much more recent. The Tzitz Eliezer died maybe 10 years ago. Rav Eliashiv is given a similar question, and he makes it clear, where he writes as follows. We're at number 12. Let's skip to three lines from the bottom. He said the reason why you can't give the person over is because unjustly the Jew might get capital punishment. So it doesn't happen nowadays. In America, most states don't even have capital punishment. And the ones that do have capital punishment, you really got to earn it. Right? So therefore, he also thought, nowadays it doesn't apply. And similarly, a great story, quoted many times by Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Number 13 will do in its entirety. He writes, Yehudi Shaganav Sfume Kesef Gedolim. There's a Jew who stole a lot of money. Nitpas Hayidei Amishter Rabba Arto Savis V'nidon L'Kamashnos Ma'aser. He was caught by the United States police force and he was given several years of prison. $200,000. Now they're collecting $200,000 to get the guy out of jail. Should you donate to the cause? That's the question. Hagoyin Rosh Lema Zalman Orbach Heshiv. Rosh Lema Zalman always responded, Pidyon Shvuyim? This is Pidyon Shvuyim? Maze Pidyon Shvuyim? Pidyon Shvuyim Zek Kasha Goyin Novsim Yehudi Stam. Pidyon Shvuyim is if someone gets kidnapped and they're holding now in prison until we give them some money to give them back.
They're being ransomed.
Right. He says, Shlomo says, as far as I know in the United States of America, they don't grab Jews off the street just to get money out of them. The Torah says, don't steal. But who gun of Kesef? And this guy violated the Torah and he stole. Adarabba. Let the guy sit in prison and learn some halachas. You're not supposed to steal. So again, it sounds from Shlomo Zalman, it sounds from Rabbi Yashiv, that in fact the rules of Mesira do not apply nowadays. What?
I said this would apply to a certain case.
Yes.
Post.
What about the situation in a shidduch where you know someone about
I don't know if that's related to this, but you're supposed to say it.
Isn't it related to this?
Why is it related?
Well, he might not get married, it might be the mess of his life.
Is it better to mess over the other person's life and marry someone that they shouldn't?
Is it not related?
I don't think it's related to this. The Pisrei Choshen disagrees. The Pisrei Choshen in number 14 says a few things. One, he says, I'm not convinced that this wasn't written because of what he writes, second line, Mipachar HaTzenzor, Oar Shulton. He says, I'm not convinced. But even if I am convinced, he said, wait a second. According to the Torah, if I steal money, what's the punishment?
Damages.
I have to pay back the money. Do I have to go to prison?
No.
So again,
you might get an initial fine, but you have to pay back the money and...
Right, arguably have to pay a fine as well. Correct. But, therefore, what's the United States going to do to the Ganav? If Bazin would have caught Madoff, what would a Bazin have done?
Pay back the money and some fines, probably.
Right. Would he have gone to prison?
Probably not.
Right? So, therefore, is it right to send a person to prison for stealing?
There are two different systems.
That's correct. But we follow the Torah system,
no,
therefore...
No, I think the Jewish system...
No.
What? No?
Don't we say that we can't, that we agree that we don't use the Jewish custom, say, in Israel today?
So yeah, so that so point number one is that he makes is I'm not convinced that this rule applies. Two is he says prison is not the Jewish way. Three is he makes another point, which I didn't put in here. He says, you know, when you end up in prison with a black Muslim named Bubba.
Oh my God.
This, you know what got it there.
Right.
It's not free so will.
Right.
In your own power.
Thank you for sharing that. That was very helpful. So his argument is the judge gives you a certain punishment, but in prison, that's there's a reason when someone gets out of prison we have a bench gomo.
We have what?
Bench.
But the counter argument to this is you should think about these things before. Money.
Correct. Now, again, we are not condoning stealing money. Right. That's clear. But the question is, the question is, though, again, if they say if the punishment for stealing in America was the death penalty, would we give the person in?
No.
I think not. Right. So to here, the question is prison perhaps the equivalent of the death penalty?
It could be.
Well, again, and it depends. If they're sending you to a country club prison, that's one thing. If you go into Supermax, that might be different. So that's what. So the Pisrei Choshen is, even though it seems to be that there are many people who.
Why is the American system set up the way it is? What's the whole concept of sending someone to jail? It's setting up a system.
All penal systems are based on two ideas. One is a deterrent, right? One to stop you from doing it.
One's rehabilitation.
Right. Or perhaps it's rehabilitation, right? But one way or the other, right, the idea is that or also paying your debt to society. Right? You've done something wrong, now you're going to have to pay for it.
Isn't that the same concept as
no, again, we the Torah understands there are different levels of violations. There are certain things that you get the death penalty for, something you get kare, sometimes you get malchus, sometimes you get a slap on the wrist. You know, there's different types. If everybody who jaywalked got the death penalty, right.
What creates a law and order in the Jewish system if there is no, aside from, you just pay back, meaning a person could do it again, in theory.
And then they'd have to pay back double again. You're not going to make a lot of money by taking and paying back double.
Understood, but there's something that makes them have to think about what they're doing as well.
Right? Because they're also paying back double. They're also, people know about them, and they're kind of awesome.
Right, when your name is Yanko the Ganov, yeah. Right, people stay away from you. They probably won't want to make a shidduch with you, unless you're really good at it, then they will want to make a shidduch with you.
Can I go back to your Madoff example?
Yes.
Under Jewish law, let's say he can't pay back the money and certainly can't pay the fine. Would we jail him?
No. Well, no.
What would his...
He'd have to be a slave.
As long as he gives a donation, the yeshiva is okay.
Right. In certain cases, what we would do is sell him as a slave.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yossi. As a way to pay back.
Right.
Wait a minute. Yossi, if
I'm waiting.
Pay,
he's talking to me or Yossi?
You, Rabbi. As a slave, aren't they, for so many years?
Yeah, in some cases.
House, they work for that person till they work off the debt.
Well, up to 6 years.
Huh?
Up to 6 years.
Oh, just up to 6 years?
Right. Okay.
But you can get out on 2 to 3 or something.
And with good behavior. Yeah.
So up to 6 years, you can...
Right, so again, if I had Madoff as my slave, I probably wouldn't have him working in my field. I'd probably him doing my finances. How could that go wrong?
I get the impression that some of the answers written in the Middle Ages were influenced by the attitude of the kings or the rulers towards the Jews, which were very, very negative. But nowadays,
in America,
in Israel, in Western society, we are equal citizens like everybody else. They don't have taxes, especially for Jews. They don't have laws, especially
correct.
For Jews.
Again, that's exactly what the Aruch HaShulchan said.
You can't give somebody over to the government if he steals money, if he doesn't pay his fair share.
So again, so what you're saying is what the Aruch HaShulchan says, what Rosh Hashanah Zalman says, what the Tzitz Eliezer says, what Rav Yashiv says. Right? So you've got good company on this one. Right?
Thank you.
Right? So, so
I mean, it's,
that's the right.
In essence, if somebody, if the government needs $1 million to build a new road, and 900 people pay each $1,000, 990, and 10 people steal and don't pay, we, in essence, have to pay more, our share, to build that road. So he's stealing from me, too. Not
correct.
Only
correct. So I'd like to discuss taxes separately.
Yeah.
We'll do that as a separate topic. But right now, this is just in grand. Forget, if the, let's hold aside paying tax. If the guy's doing something else, that's illegal. Now, so as we pointed out, right, there seems to be a significant, I mean, among the great poskim who say that these laws do not apply nowadays. There is one very important and very loud voice that disagrees with this. And that is Rav Moshe Feinstein. We give you here, we're going to skip to the last three tshuvas, all for Rav Moshe Feinstein, on these topics. And let's do them well. Kavalti mikavchem b'davar harosha b'koach shel beis haroshes kosher shel ziyef chosmos v'tolosam al neveros v'treifos. What's the case here? The case is there's a guy who's putting plumbers on treif meat.
Plumbers?
Everybody know what a plumber?
Certification that it's kosher.
Remember, you used to get the chicken out of this metal thing on the end?
That I remember.
That's called the plumber.
Got it.
Mm.
But they had a guy. And then he split. He gave his wife a get, and he split.
Well, that's nice that he gave a get. So, huh? Right, yeah. So there's a guy who was...
He did that. He was a big distributor.
Mm-hmm.
Back in.
Huh? Yep, swimming with the fishes. So... what would you say about this? So this guy is causing people to sin by selling treif meat as kosher, right? And he's doing it to make money. You like this guy?
No.
Macha yudim b'tor kashrus. And he's been selling it to Jews and they've been eating it unknowingly. Now they've been eating treif. All their pots and pans are treif. Their oven is treif. Do we give this guy over to the authorities?
No, just beat them up again, and then throw them out. That's
Masha the beater upper.
Yeah.
That's how we did it when I was a little boy in Winnemucca.
Yeah.
I remember it like yesterday.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed how little I remember about yesterday. So the question is, are they allowed to give this guy over to the authorities? Right? This person has clearly violated the Consumer Protection Acts. Right, he is clearly stolen, he's overcharged, and he's done it in a way that has particularly affected the entire Jewish community. Okay? What would everybody say here? No. Give him in or let him walk?
I say hang him by his thumbs.
Thumbs. Good. Oshi Adonu Osoha Rabbanim Medina Yisrael. Should the rabbis deal with him or do we hand him over to the authorities? That's the question. But Moshe writes, "Lefi ani yadaiti efshe pashu gadol ma'od." Even though the guy pashu his aver is a terrible one, v'chanir ain't a bal tshuva klal, and this guy is not the bal tshuva. He's a bad guy, bad to the bone.
So what's the purpose of bringing him to a best day? He's not going to listen anyway.
Exactly.
Right. That's clearly right.
And yet he says to bring him to a best
day. Let's see. We haven't said it yet. Just because you read ahead, become makom.
With all due respect, Moshe Feinstein was a
brilliant
tzaddik.
Mm-hmm. Mikol makom, kol zman shlo reinu shdayanei Yisrael. Until the Beis Din has tried to stop him, you can't give him over. Chadad afilu lo yadunu barkos elo kedinei Torah. Also, rodun barkos. One is because you don't go to courts. But od havade him yadunu b'meser b'mamash lo kedinei Yisrael. They're going to send the guy to jail. We would never send someone to jail. No matter how bad the guy is, you can't give the guy over. Koshkin Hakashu Shagor Hakshir Kama Bnead Yisurim Gam Ha Iker Tarvayu the Hu Gam Shagor Honos Shu Gam Tvias Mammon.
So what's the proper punishment for
this? He says, therefore, he said, the first things first, he said that we've got to try, before you give him over, you got to take him to Beis Din. Bottom line, literally, l'chein nir alir, if he has died, he should be tchir, yadon oso, bivada rabbanim, b'chom masha b'yadam, v'ha'ikr rev hoslo, v'milimcho dvarm k'sherim, v'mro yatsayis, oz yivyu radon barakos. Until the Beis Din has done whatever it can to stop him from selling, you can't give him over to the courts. That's case number one.
But it's not only just selling. How about reparation to the community?
Okay, so the Beis Din has to try to collect whatever
okay.
it is.
Okay.
But you can't give him over to the court.
Doesn't by nature, by giving him in, set up a system that teaches everyone else versus...
But it's awesome. If we shot him, that would teach everyone else also. Right? I think so. We went there, took him out, and we strung him by his thumb and then shot him between his eyes and let him stay there 6 months till the birds picked off the flesh off his carcass. I think that would make a strong statement as well.
I think that's why...
I think so.
It would.
Right? You can argue.
No,
but we don't do that.
I think that's what's why the American system set up the way it is. People see, if I do X, Y, and Z, I'm going to jail. So it deters other people from doing it. They don't go. If there was a system that basically said, if you do X, Y, and Z, you're going to be turned in, so people would probably think second.
But again, as I said, what would be my idea?
If my idea is that I just get out.
My idea, again, I think, Shlomo, I think you're a softy. I think what we should take the guy out and shoot him and leave him in the street till the dogs lick his blood and eat him down to his bones. Would that discourage people?
Really tell us how you feel.
Probably, yeah, be sure.
What about if I say you do after you try best then?
Right, so if that fails, then he'll let you do it. Okay? Case number two. The question is, can I work for the IRS?
Who? The Jew work for an IRS?
No. The Jew. Because in the event, if I'm an auditor, I might catch other Jews, and I'd have to give them in. Right?
Well,
so again.
There are plenty of Jews who work for the IRS.
That makes it okay?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Well, that was simple.
Yeah.
What are you doing this for?
There are a lot of Jews.
I guess I need a job.
There are a lot of Jews who are lawyers and who are doctors.
And maybe So, Moshe. Hinev davar imutar mishras roe cheshbonos esau memshara v'asher efamim yavar liyado cheshbon shel echesh pasha. So, well, let's discuss this outside before we read it. What would you say? Is there a problem with it?
Yeah.
Why is it a problem?
Because you might end up catching Jews.
But I thought we said if a guy's not paying his taxes, you have a right to give him in.
From what Moshe Feinstein has said earlier, it sounds like we don't give it.
Right. So, yeah, according to everyone we have discussed until now, they've right. said, listen, you got to follow the laws. You don't follow the laws, you really owe the money. If we give them in, they'll make you pay your money that you owe. That's not a problem. Now, Moshe's not excited about it. Yes?
Let's say you can't be a district attorney because you're going to run across Jews that you're going to put in jail.
To which I say, ha, ya.
Hey, they have
Moshe, everybody should be a teacher in the yeshiva, and that's it. You can't be a doctor.
No.
You can't be an attorney. You can't be an IRS worker.
But you could be a ganav.
Huh?
You should be a ganav.
Exactly.
No, again, it's not that you can't be an attorney. I don't know what's wrong with being a doctor, but to be an attorney, as long as you're not a prosecutor.
What about
how many yidden do you know that are prosecutors?
They have a guy on TV.
Half of the community in Baltimore works for the IRS.
Yeah.
Wow. Social Security. Thousands of people.
Everyone else works for NASA.
Rabbi, there's this guy being caught again today. The attorney general or assistant, he's a Jewish Berman.
Okay, here's one more. Last one. B'davar ganav shegonav sefer Torah. If someone steals a sefer Torah and the silver from shul, can you give him in?
Yes.
Parentheses, in case you didn't know that, police. They're going to take this guy. And they're going to throw him away, and they'll lock him up and throw away the keys. Sorry, can't do it. He's got to pay back.
Also, he could lose his life.
So Moshe Feinstein does not buy at all this idea that America is different. That according to Rav Moshe, now you've got a problem here, because we have significant poskim, significant contemporary poskim, right? Rav Eliyashiv, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Tzitz Eliezer, who have made it very clear that the rules of Moshe do not apply nowadays. On the other hand, right, you have Rav Moshe Feinstein, which is saying, let's consider it. Let's just to try to bring things together at the end. What would Rav Moshe say about the case of if I am a doctor and I suspect that someone's beating their kids? Would Rav Moshe say, give him over?
I think he'd say we have to handle
they
it.
They should, yeah.
I would think yes. I would think he'd say give him over.
Why?
What? Because you've got it. It's not money. Because there's a kid's life on the line.
Yeah.
So I think in that, and I think sexual abuse, he would say the same thing. I think that again, I also think that he'd probably say, perhaps you first have to go to Beis Din to make sure he's doing it before you give him in. If a Beis Din determines that this person is violent, then you give the person in. You don't decide on your own.
But I think he might say that.
So again, perhaps you should not rely on yourself. You should go there. But in those cases, given. But when it comes to finances, right, in that case, I think Rav Moshe will be different. Now, do we follow the opinion of Rav Moshe? On the one hand, there are strong opinions, probably majority opinions against it. On the other hand, Rav Moshe is Rav Moshe.
Every gun in New York has the English Moshe in his
bookshelf. Right. I don't know if that's a fact. I don't know if Yossi can actually prove that.
Okay. Good to know.
Right. So I think that that's the story. On the one hand, you know, there are strong opinions, as we said, that the rules of Messiah are very limited nowadays. On the other hand, you have Rav Moshe, who has it very broad. So again, if we're talking a case of somebody's life is in danger, if we're talking about there's a murderer on the loose, etc. Avada, you give them in, right? If there's sexual abuse, you give them in, right? If there's child abuse, you give them in. These are all, I think, agreed upon, even by Rav Moshe. If it's financial, that's perhaps a different story. All right.